Angie has made it easier than ever to connect with skilled professionals to get all your jobs projects done well. If you own a home, you know how much work it can take, whether it's everyday maintenance and repairs or making dream projects a reality. It can be hard just to know where to start, but now all you need to do is Angie that and find a skilled local pro who will deliver the quality and expertise you need. Angie has over 20 years of home service experience, and they've combined it with new tools to simplify the whole process. Bring them your project online or with the Angie app, answer a few questions, and Angie can handle the rest from start to finish or help you compare quotes from multiple pros and connect instantly, which means you can take care of just about any home project in just a few taps. Because when it comes to getting the most out of your home, you can do this when you Angie that. Download the free Angie mobile app today or visit Angie.com. That's Angie.com.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
G'day mates, it's Bee Buster here. And before the episode begins, I would just like to let you know that Be Scared, which is produced along with Studio 71, features scary stories from around the globe on a weekly basis that aim to fuel your nightmares with a smile. And if you enjoy the podcast, it would be great if you could hit that subscribe button and drop a review. But thanks for listening, guys. And without further ado, let's begin. Back in August of 2023, we were staying at an Airbnb in Hatch, Utah. This place didn't have any air conditioning, considering the elevation of Hatch, and the temperature was pretty comfortable, but this will be relevant later. Now, on the first night, my wife and I were out stargazing, since the sky was devoid of light pollution and clouds. I had my GoPro set up and my phone taking photos, and we were just staring up enjoying the stars. That was when my wife pointed out to me what appeared to be a single small satellite floating across the sky. As we were looking at it, however, it then multiplied into three lights in a sort of triangle shape. It continued to expand in the same manner until there were about seven lights in a larger triangle pattern. That in and of itself is pretty weird, right? But what really was just bizarre was the sky that was visible within that triangle shape more or less froze like a screenshot, and then that section of the sky was moving with the triangle while the rest of the sky around it was stationary. The best way I can think to describe it would be like in the movie Predator and his active camo invisibility tech. The world behind him was visible but sort of skewed, and this triangle passed over the sky for a few short minutes until it just seemed to either rise rapidly and disappear or shrink rapidly. It was about that time that we noticed that it had also gone eerily silent outside with us. No crickets or anything. Even the wind seemed to have stopped. We decided to go in for the night after that, as we were both pretty weirded out by it. In awe, of course, but also weirded out. I got some good pictures of the night sky, but of course, as is usual, they didn't see anything weird. Anyway, a few hours later, the same evening when we were getting ready for bed, I wanted to try a long exposure setting that I had found on my GoPro, so I was standing on the porch taking pictures. That is when I heard the whistle. Now, I'm not an overly superstitious man by any means, but I've heard stories, and not wanting to take my chances, I didn't return the whistle. There was a second whistle shortly after the first that expedited my decision to just go back inside. Weirded out, we just sort of laughed it off in the end and made sure the doors were locked and we went to bed. Mind you, due to the lack of air conditioning in this house, the windows were all open for airflow. An hour or so later, after we were asleep, my wife wakes me up to ask if I hear something. It was at this point that we both hear very clearly a deep growl and breathing like that of a bear or a large animal outside of our window on the porch. Not loud, but definitely very bassy. But we could hear heavy footsteps on the porch as well. We woke our friends up and quickly turned all the lights on to look around. There were no footprints on the dusty porch and none in the soft mud around the porch, so this experience we really just cannot explain. Of course, our friends were asleep in their room and they didn't hear a thing, and they didn't experience the earlier sighting outside either. Nothing else weird happened while we stayed there for the rest of that trip, though. But the final thing to have happened, and this is the part that really weirded my wife out, was that a month or so later, when we were back home, we were in the kitchen making dinner when she looked up and there was an owl sitting on the fence just sort of staring into the house at us. I wasn't at that time aware of the correlation between alien sightings and abductions and the sighting of owls, but I definitely am now. To our knowledge, we didn't have any lost time events or anything like that, but it just kind of felt like we saw something that we weren't supposed to see, and maybe they were checking us out to see if we were cool. For my wife, this is all a little bit too much, and it has made her very uneasy to stare at the stars as much anymore. I, on the other hand, am still very much intrigued. We haven't noticed any more owls as of late, so who knows if it was just a coincidence or not. But I'm sharing this because I want to describe my experience and just explain it to someone out there. I would also be interested in hearing if anyone else has experienced, well, anything like this.
Angie has made it easier than ever to connect with skilled professionals to get all your jobs projects done well. If you own a home, you know how much work it can take, whether it's everyday maintenance and repairs or making dream projects a reality. It can be hard just to know where to start, but now all you need to do is Angie that and find a skilled local pro who will deliver the quality and expertise you need. Angie has over 20 years of home service experience, and they've combined it with new tools to simplify the whole process. Bring them your project online or with the Angie app, answer a few questions, and Angie can handle the rest from start to finish, or help you compare quotes from multiple pros and connect instantly, which means you can take care of just about any home project in just a few taps. Because when it comes to getting the most out of your home, you can do this when you Angie that. Download the free Angie mobile app today or visit Angie.com. That's ANGI.com.
I went camping with my wife and stepdaughter the other night near Laguna Mountain in California. We were off the main road in a secluded route that seldom had cars passing by. No foot traffic through the area at all, however. And we heard a noise late during the night that honestly could be explained logically by something natural, I guess. Something we just don't know about. However, my wife and I have both been losing sanity trying to understand what that noise could have been, or what could have made the noise. The first occurrence of the noise occurred around midnight, and we can only describe it as a slow, deliberate, rhythmic nail scratching on the tensioned paracord strips that were securing the tent to the ground. Naturally, we thought that it might have been a critter curious about the tent, but the slowness and the rhythm of the noise makes us believe otherwise, because critters like that generally scratch quickly and sounds more hasty, I guess. The other conclusion that leads us to believe that it wasn't a critter was because of the fact that throughout the night, we actually did hear squirrels running around outside, curious of all of our stuff that was outside. Why is that detail important? Because during the time leading up to the noise and the time after the noise, we heard absolutely no critters outside running up to or away from the tent. Which means that Whatever was creating the noise was absolutely silent coming up to and away from the tent, or, eerily enough, may have actually been floating or something of that nature. We did hear it again at around 2 a.m. the same night, and during that specific episode, the noise seemed to have shifted from one corner of the tent to the corner closer to our heads, allowing us to even feel the vibration of the scratching reverberating throughout the floor of the tent. And that's what leads me to believe that it was the taut paracord strips, because of the tension allowing the vibration to be much stronger. Now, we may have also heard the noise again a third time, but it seemed so weak and went on for such a small duration compared to the other times that we honestly couldn't really key in on the noise that time. So we aren't sure if it was actually the same thing or just our sanity playing tricks on us at that point. My wife and I were very disturbed when we heard that, though, and it honestly kept us awake and on high alert for a long time. We're very curious to know what it may have been as well, and that's why I'm here. Has anyone had a similar experience, or does anyone have an explanation as to what that could have been? I'm 23, female, and from the UK. From the ages of 9 to 11, I was best friends with this girl that we'll call Sarah. She and I formed a little group at primary school with two other girls. Their names were Lauren and Ellen, but we were each other's best friends first, as we lived so close. Sarah lived one street over from me, so I would always sleep over at her house, but she never came over to my house, as we were very, very poor, and honestly, I was embarrassed about the state of my house. The sleepovers became a bit of a weekly thing, though, and it was just her and her mum who worked every weekend, so we spent a lot of time in the house alone. She would show me her mum's explicit material from like the 80s that all included vampires. As a 9-year-old, I had no idea what was going on, and I'd just sort of sit there blankly. She'd always say, "Doesn't it make you want to do it?" and things like that. She would also get her mum's toys and show them to me and make me hold them, which never really seemed odd to me, I guess, until I got a bit older. But even at the time, I felt uncomfortable. I was a pretty nervous child, and I struggled to make friends. So I'd often go along with whatever she said, just because I felt lucky to have a friend, outside of school, that is. But she would often make up scary stories, or do sort of mildly creepy things at night, like sing Patty Cake in a babyish voice close to my ear while I was sleeping, or pretend her dolls were alive and wanted to punish me for taking her attention away from them, which creeped me out, but never outright concerned me, I guess. Though my mum was worried that I was having constant nightmares at this point. None of this affected me, though, too much, and so I stayed friends with her. Later that year, I got mauled by a dog, Japanese Akita, and had reconstructive surgery on my face. Due to this, I had to take medication at certain times, and would be escorted to and from the school office every day by my other friend, Lauren. Because of this, we became best friends, and I started sleeping over at her house instead of Sarah's. Sarah didn't like that I was getting a lot of attention due to my fresh scar that I had, or that I had replaced her with another friend, so she said that I was pregnant at 10. Complete with tears and plans and everything, including Ellen telling her mum at the end. As kids, we really didn't even question the validity of her claim. At some point, she dropped this, and next she pretended that she had cancer. I called her out on that one, as I knew a lot about cancer because my auntie had it at the time, which she really didn't like. After that, she started calling me names, stealing my school stuff, made up lies about me and more, making our other two friends pick me or her. It fluctuated a lot, so sometimes they'd be my friends, other times they'd be hers. During this time, though, I slept over at Lauren's a lot, and a lot of my stuff went missing. A pink flip phone that I just got as my first phone ever. This was like 2010, and my DS Lite, which was my prized possession at the time. My mum, she got involved at this point and demanded that they find it, as she knew that I'd taken it to the sleepover. In the end, Lauren supposedly found them both smashed up on a road far from either of us lived, and returned them to me completely broken weeks later. Later on, Sarah and I got invited to swimming baths for Lauren's birthday, and for once we got along like it was having my best friend back. Us kids were basically left alone in the pool to mess around for a few hours. An important note here too is that I really couldn't swim, and I still can't. I had chickenpox during school swimming lessons, and I'm terrified of water now, so I've just never learned since then. Anyway, at one point I was so sick of being stuck in the shallow end, like a baby at the age of 11, when all of my friends were swimming in the deep end. Sarah noticed this and came over to me. She offered to piggyback me and swim me to the deep end so I could play with everyone else. I was really happy to be included. I didn't even think about the fact that she didn't really regularly like me, or that if she left me, I really couldn't swim back. I just hopped right on, and she swam us out. She started mock-tipping me sideways like she was going to drop me, and I cried and begged her to take me back. I was terrified of getting water in my face or going underwater. Still can't go underwater to this day. She just laughed at me, though, and then dropped me, dunking me under the water and holding my head there where I struggled and I couldn't breathe. I remember struggling and being unable to breathe, but the next thing I knew, a lifeguard had pulled me to the side of the pool, and I was choking on air and shaking. I also have horrible reactions to the smell of chlorine, and it makes me sneeze and my eyes swell up, so I had to be picked up, but everyone told me that it was an accident and just kids messing around. She later told me that it was just a joke. I should learn to swim and stop being a baby, which I guess is kind of true, but still, after that day, I didn't want to be around her anymore. Our friends still flip-flop between us, some days being her friend, other days being mine. But that was fine. I didn't care anymore, and I was just sick of her. I avoided her like the plague at this point. And I mean, primary school was almost over, and after that, I never had to see her again. Eventually, we all went to secondary school, ages 11 to 16, and we all went to the same one, but my school was categorized into classes, the top being the smartest, and I, Lauren, and Ellen were all in the top class, and Sarah wasn't. It was a nice buffer, and I got my best friends back, as well as making more friends for the first time ever. And so I completely forgot about her, in all honesty. But then, one day as I walked home from school, I passed the corner shop on my way home, and she was there, blocking the path, waiting for me, it seemed. Her school tie was tied around her head like a headband, and she was crying. I tried to go around her, and she growled at me and launched herself at me. I was like 4'7", 80 pounds, if that, and she was much larger than me, and I'd never been in a fight, ever. I really had no idea what to do to get her off of me while she clawed at my neck and alternated kneeing me and elbowing me. I just wanted her off me. I grabbed the tie wrapped around her head and pulled her as hard as I could until she fell to the ground. And with that, she just ran away crying. I remember walking the rest of the way home so confused. I mean, what had I even done to her to deserve that? I mean, I hadn't even spoken to her in like 8 months at that point, and she and our other friends were in the same tutor group, and they hadn't mentioned anything to me. Eventually, I forgot about that too. I turned 12 a couple of months later, and the day after my birthday, I walked into school having spent all of my birthday money on new pens that I was excited to show off. I was a bit of a weird kid, I know, but first lesson of the day begins, and Ellen runs up to me and says, "Sarah's brought a knife to school. She showed me in tutor, and she said that she brought it for you." At first, I kind of laughed out loud at that, assuming that it was a joke of some kind, since any sort of weapon brought to our school was grounds for immediate expulsion. And nobody was stupid enough to try that, especially at 12 years old. I think I even made a joke about it, probably being a butter knife. She repeated, though, that apparently she was serious, that she told the teachers about it, and they'd actually called the police at this point. Again, though, I just didn't believe her. To me, it seemed crazy that they would call the police over a 12-year-old bringing a knife to school. But they did. The police arrived minutes later, and that was that. I never saw the knife, but she was immediately expelled. I don't know for sure why me or what she had planned to do, but she must have told multiple people that she was going to do something to me, because it was an ongoing joke the rest of the time that I was at school. She ended up going to the school my little sister had just started at, and she apparently also told my sister that it had been for me, but it was just a joke. Side note, my little sister is a year younger and is a fighter, and at this stage, I've still never been in a real fight, and my sister has always fought anyone who badmouthed me. She's a real one for sure, but my sister apparently punched her for that, and that was the last that I heard from her until I was like 18 years old. I turned 18 and I was at university, and then out of the blue I was tagged in an old primary school photo by Sarah. It had the whole class in it, but she tagged only me. I found this a bit odd, but didn't do anything about it, and I mean, it was on my old Facebook account anyway, so I just ignored it. A couple of months later, though, it was Sarah's birthday, and she sent me a message asking if I would come to her birthday party. Mind you, I hadn't spoken to her in like 6 years at this point, and the last time I had, I mean, she'd fought me and then brought a knife to school. So in the end, I simply ignored the message and I just moved on with my life. Later I saw that she and Lauren had reconnected and were best friends again apparently, which always concerned me as Lauren and I had stayed friends for years and she knew everything about how Sarah had treated me. But I've never really put much thought into it, other than that it's likely that they were still friends the whole time and Lauren had stolen my DS and phone because of Sarah and they'd broken them together. But the last time that I saw her, I was 19 and I was on a date with my boyfriend walking down the street, and I saw her standing at the bus stop. I wasn't really bothered since I'd neither seen nor heard anything from her for years, until our eyes met and she grinned and pulled out her phone and started filming me until I was out of sight. Now, I have no idea why she did any of the things that she did, and I mostly feel sorry for her based on the way her life has turned out so far. But really, I still hope that I never, ever run into her again. Recently, there was an Amber Alert, and my daughter was asking me what that beeping sound was all about. For those who don't know, an Amber Alert goes out when a child is reported missing. If you receive notifications, you know what I'm talking about. But the alert will sometimes give information like the victim's appearance as well as the perpetrator, the location of the abduction, make and model of a vehicle, stuff like this. Anyway, my phone started beeping one evening while helping my daughter clean her room, an Amber Alert. She asked about it. I gave her a small rundown, and that was that. However, it triggered a childhood memory that I have where I believe with all of my heart that I was almost kidnapped when I was a kid. To be clear, this isn't a memory that was laying dormant in my subconscious or anything, and this random Amber Alert and talk with my kid caused it to resurface in my mind. This incident is something that I've pondered and thought about off and on for years now. I'm a 41-year-old male, by the way. So, it's been a while since I've considered the factors and details of the experience, and this recent Amber Alert and talk with my daughter really caused me to pause and reflect on the incident itself once again. And so, here I am. As a parent, you worry about these things, and you do all you can to protect your children, especially when you personally experience something truly scary, just like this. Now, the occurrence happened when I was just a young kid. My guess is around 7 or 8. I can't be sure, but I think that that's a safe estimate based on the fact that much of these early childhood memories aren't really there anymore. I do remember my kindergarten experience, which I would have been 5 or 6, and also later grades as well, but this incident must have happened sometime after or maybe even around the ages of 7 to 8. My parents took me to a neighboring city to do some shopping one day. We lived in a small rural town with not much on offer, so from time to time we would go to this neighboring city, about 45 minutes from where we were located. It just had more to offer, I guess, and they would take me up there for school clothes shopping, out to eat because restaurants were better, and because my mum was a bit of a crafter, she loved to make crafts, it was a thing. There were these different craft stores and a fabric store that she liked going up to there as well. Now, on this specific trip, we went to a fabric store up there, Joanne Fabrics to be exact. This was a pretty big store. As a little kid, I guess most every place seems big, but no kidding, this was actually a pretty sizable place. My dad, he sat out in the car while I went in with my mum. He did that a lot growing up. He would just sit in the car when there was a store that he didn't want to go into, so I really can't blame him there. I can't recall exactly what all my mum was looking for or trying to get in that store that day, but I do remember what section we were in, an area with a bunch of racks with various fabrics hanging. Imagine a clothing store with circular racks with clothes hanging around them, and that's pretty much what it's like at this fabric store, racks of hanging fabrics. I remember this area being sort of slightly toward the beginning or entrance of the store. As my mum was looking through these racks, I sort of begin to wander around. Not far though, just enough to kind of look around myself. I was probably bored and started wandering around, is my guess, but I could still see my mum just up and over a few racks away, so it wasn't like I was on the other side of the store or anything. Anyway, a random man approached me, and honestly, I can't even remember at what direction he came from. It's just like I was there by myself one minute, and the next I looked up and saw this guy. It was like he came in fast and sort of out of nowhere, but I quickly looked over to where my mum was. She had moved a few racks up and away, but I could still see her. There was a fair bit of distance between my mum and me at this point, and so here I am, standing behind some rack of fabric with this older guy opposite me on the other side of this rack. Then he speaks. "Hey, little boy, how you doing there?" I remained silent because this took me completely off guard. He asked, "Where's your folks at? Are you alone in here?" I stood still and sort of quiet. "Come here, I got something to show you." At this point, he started advancing toward me, coming around the rack to where I was. I quickly started the other way, but he stopped and started coming around the other way as if to meet me in the middle. I was scared at this moment and became instantly aware that this man seemed a bit dangerous and like he was trying to get a hold of me. "Come here," he barked. I jerked fast to the left, but he did the same. And at that point, he had this real wild look in his eyes. Whichever direction I went, he followed, but remember, there's a rack between us. Honestly as well, I'm so thankful for that rack. After some back and forth movements from me and this man, I finally lock on with my mum and yell, "Mum, help!" You would have thought that I had screamed bloody murder. It was so loud, but it got my mum's attention and did the job. "What's wrong?" she asked. This startled the man, and he looked over his shoulder in the direction of my gaze and confirmed that yes, that must be his mother. His demeanor all of a sudden completely changes, and it's as if everything is just fun and games and he was just messing around, and he said as much to my mum. "I was just messing around with him. No harm, ma'am." My mum came to where I was, and as we reconnected, the guy just sort of tips his hat at my mum and makes his way out of the store. I explained to my mum what had just happened, that this guy was trying to get me. I was so upset and really shook up. She told me that I did the right thing by yelling and getting her attention. It was terrifying for sure, though, and I'm thankful that something crazy didn't happen. Could I have been imagining things, like maybe this guy was really just messing around? I seriously doubt it. I very much think that there were nefarious intentions. I mean, why would a random older guy be perusing a fabric store? If he was there for something like crafts or fabrics, why promptly leave when confronted? To this day, I truly believe that he was up to no good. This all happened about 10 years ago. I had just graduated high school and was living with my grandmother at the time. At this time, I had no idea what sleep paralysis even was, nor had I heard of any of these types of experiences. I've never done any drugs other than smoking a bit of weed every now and then, maybe two or three times a year earlier, but I've never had any problems with anything. Now, one night, right before falling asleep, in a spare bedroom with all the lights off and the door closed, I felt an extremely weird and unsettling feeling in my body. My body all of a sudden felt extremely heavy and seemed sort of fuzzy. I'm really not sure how else to describe it, but I thought that I had fallen asleep and sort of woke up, only this time I couldn't move at all. As I said before, at this point in time, I had never even heard of sleep paralysis. During this experience, though, I seriously thought that I was dying. I assumed I was having a heart attack or something, and something was seriously wrong. Panic set in, and I began panting and trying as hard as I could to move and get up, with no success, obviously. Next thing I know, a completely black silhouette of a person moved into the room from the door. It was pitch black, like as if a person was wearing a bodysuit of Vanta black. The only thing that was not completely black was its head, which appeared to be sort of black-white film static, like from an old TV. It entered the room, stood at the foot of the bed for some time, before I was able to move, and then it just suddenly disappeared. I immediately grabbed my cell phone and punched in what I had experienced in hopes of figuring out what the heck had just happened to me. This is when I learned about sleep paralysis and the shadow people that people see and experience. After that incident, I began having trouble sleeping, as I was extremely fearful of experiencing it again. I really cannot remember how much later, although all of these experiences happened within about a year's time, but eventually it happened again. This time I was visiting my siblings, living with my mother. I was in a bedroom with my younger brother who was playing a PlayStation. There was a queen bed in the room that I was laying in, and a twin mattress on the floor beside it that my brother was sitting on. Some time had passed before the last sleep paralysis experience that I had, but right before falling asleep, I felt that familiar feeling of heaviness. I tried to get up, but it was too late. I couldn't move, but again, I could see the room. I assume my eyes were open, but I guess I really have no idea. But I could see my brother still sitting on the mattress toward my feet. I tried as hard as I could to yell his name, to get him to shake me in an attempt to get me out of this sleep paralysis. But this didn't work at all. With a view of the bedroom door, one after another, four pitch-black shadow figures entered the room. This time, they were pitch black head to toe, no static face. They slowly gather around the bed that I was in, likely within arm's reach. They stood there for some time as I was experiencing, even to this day, the most horrifying experience that I have ever had. I mean, pure terror. Then, they all spoke. When they did, it was like a booming, omniscient voice that didn't seem to come from them specifically, but just emanated from all around me. The only words that they spoke were, "The seen cannot be unseen." They then disappeared, and I awoke, more terrified than I have ever been. Now, I've never really told this story before, and there were a couple of more experiences, I guess you could say, of sleep paralysis that I have experienced, but I did not see anything during those. Nothing like this, at least. I'm really hoping that it doesn't happen again, but quite honestly, I'm pretty fearful that it will. If you guys have any advice as to what I should do about any of this, or what this might be exactly, then please feel free to let me know, because I would genuinely appreciate the interaction. I lost my father in 2021. He passed away at the age of 56. He worked at a factory where they made paint. Due to his field, he developed scar tissue in his lungs. He had pulmonary fibrosis. He fought for 5 years, but during COVID, he got bronchitis and he passed away. Shortly after his passing, I dreamed of my dad one more time prior to this time, and he was laying on his bed smiling with a thumbs up. When he appeared to me, he didn't say anything, and it was more like a feeling that I knew that it was him. He looked really young, though, and he glowed, not in a movie or cartoon way, but in a sort of out-of-this-world kind of way. I ended up crying in my sleep, and my mum woke me up. I was apparently sobbing. After that time, I dreamed of him again about a year later, but this time it was different. I remember that I was in my living room, and my dad had his Lazy Boy recliner in the corner of the living room. That recliner was honestly his sanctuary. He spent most of his time in that chair, and I can remember seeing my dad rocking in his chair with his oxygen tank right next to him. But because of his pulmonary fibrosis, he has a very distinct cough as well. In my dream, my dad was weak and sick. He was rocking back and forth and coughing. As I got closer, his cough got more exaggerated until it eventually turned into this evil, loud sort of laugh. I also remember saying, "You're not my dad," and trying to wake up. Then I realized that I was sort of stuck. I had sleep paralysis. My mum was laying next to me. It was really hard on her losing my dad, so for the first year I moved in with her and slept with her because she hadn't slept alone in like over 30 years. But it was at this point that my mother apparently felt someone get on the bed, but obviously there was nothing there, so out of fear, she actually woke me up. Obviously, neither of us had spoken to each other, so this is weirdly coincidental. When she did wake me up, though, she was absolutely terrified, and she said that she felt and saw the imprint of something climbing onto the bed.
G'day, mates. It's Bee Buster here. Thanks for tuning in to this week's episode of the Be Scared podcast. And please, don't forget to subscribe so you don't miss next week's episode too. Also, it would be much appreciated if you could share this new podcast with your friends and family and on social media too. Thanks again for listening, guys, and I'll see you mates in the next one.
Angie has made it easier than ever to connect with skilled professionals to get all your jobs projects done well. If you own a home, you know how much work it can take. Whether it's everyday maintenance and repairs or making dream projects a reality, it can be hard just to know where to start. But now, all you need to do is Angie that and find a skilled local pro who will deliver the quality and expertise you need. Angie has over 20 years of home service experience, and they've combined it with new tools to simplify the whole process. Bring them your project online or with the Angie app, answer a few questions, and Angie can handle the rest from start to finish, or help you compare quotes from multiple pros and connect instantly, which means you can take care of just about any home project in just a few taps. Because when it comes to getting the most out of your home, you can do this when you Angie that. Download the free Angie mobile app today or visit Angie.com. That's A-N-G-I.com.